The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon, presented by Reese's.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Russell Wilson. Don't sleep on Seattle's QB. The dealing may well not be done yet. We'll start there. Then, with the whole gang back together, can anything prevent Tampa Tom from going 2-for-2? We've got the likeliest suspects, and they are the least, no more, after big moves in Dallas and D.C. Who's the team to beat in the suddenly surging NFC East? Those are the questions. We've got the answers as we get up with you, starting right now on a Thursday. I'm not alone. Greeny and Canty here, and the crew ready to go as we talk football with you all morning long. Damian Woody from his spectacular home. Adam Schefter's got all the insight. Mike Tannenbaum is signing deals all morning long. It is a very busy day as free agency continues. But that is not where the conversation must begin today. You need to be aware of serious accusations against Houston Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson. Two massage therapists have filed civil lawsuits alleging inappropriate conduct by Watson last year. Both lawsuits allege that Watson committed civil assault when touching two separate therapists on two separate occasions. No criminal charges have been filed. The plaintiff's attorney says there are a total of six cases against Watson, who responded to the first lawsuit on Tuesday night, denying the allegations. Here was Deshaun Watson's statement, quote, "I have never treated any woman with anything other than the utmost respect. The plaintiff's lawyer claims that this isn't about money, but before filing suit, he made a baseless six-figure settlement demand, which I quickly rejected. Unlike him, this isn't about money for me. It's about clearing my name, and I look forward to doing that." Meanwhile, Watson has hired prominent attorney Rusty Harden, who told our John Barr, quote, "I'm real comfortable with the kind of person that Deshaun Watson is, and I don't like to publicly comment until I get all the facts." Harden added that Watson, quote, "has a great reputation here in the Houston area, and the allegations are really inconsistent with the kind of person he is." And so let me bring Adam Schefter and Mike Tannenbaum on here. Schefter, I will start with you. What are you hearing from around the league about these accusations against Deshaun Watson?
I think there's curiosity and concern, Greeny. I think people want more information before they make judgments. I don't ultimately know that this is going to affect the interest level in Deshaun Watson. In fact, being on the phone with one NFL team, if we transition from that world to a football world, they didn't sound overly concerned, and it didn't sound like it would inhibit their interest in Deshaun Watson in any way whatsoever. Saying that, of course, everybody's monitoring the situation. They want more information and more answers before they make any final judgments, and we'll wait to see how the situation unfolds. Clearly, a concerning situation that everybody's aware of at this point in time, and we'll see what comes out in these suits. But the fact of the matter is, I did not sense a high sense of alarm across the league from the couple of teams that I spoke to.
All right, and so Mike Tannenbaum, let's then turn to you as one who has sat in that chair of general manager. If you are one who is considering right now making a trade for Deshaun Watson, take me through the process. What does it mean to dig into this? What is it you're looking for before you would feel comfortable making a deal?
Very similar to what Adam said, Greeny, which is I remain very interested and I make sure that Houston knows that. But simultaneously, I have to take these allegations seriously. I have my security department doing a thorough investigation. At some point, I want to ask the league office for help when it's appropriate, when I get permission from the Texans. And I have to make sure I'm comfortable. Even though Deshaun Watson has a great reputation, these are serious allegations. And ultimately, as a general manager, Greeny, I have to be able to walk into my head coach, into the owner's office and say, we are comfortable making this trade despite these allegations. Either we have to wait for them to go away, get settled, whatever has to happen, but you have to be very thorough to make sure that ultimately the situation gets cleared before we finalize the trade.
Okay, so again, if there is any further information on this, we, of course, will bring it to you immediately here on Get Up and through the day on ESPN. That is a serious story in Houston. We'll continue to monitor it. Meanwhile, as free agency continues, a lot of other conversations and the wheeling and dealing, and it begins with Russell Wilson. After going 12-4 and throwing 40 touchdowns last year, Russell Wilson and the Seahawks lost in the wild card round to the Rams. And we would never have imagined in that moment it might be the last time we saw him in a Seattle uniform. But less than 2 months later, he told the Seahawks that while he wants to play in Seattle, he would consider a trade to one of four teams. All of that was according to his agent talking to our Adam Schefter, who reported Tuesday that the Bears made a very aggressive pursuit of Russell Wilson, but were told he is not being traded at this time. And so, Adam Schefter, yesterday you said you weren't quite ready to close the door on the possibilities of Russell Wilson being traded this offseason. With a day to marinate and talk to people, where do we stand?
No different, Greeny. This is a situation that didn't bear watching at the outset of free agency when the new league year began at 4 Eastern yesterday. This is a situation that bears watching right when we get close to the draft, when the Seahawks general manager, John Schneider, has done the necessary due diligence on all the top quarterback prospects, and he knows that any package he gets contains either a quarterback that he wants or the ability to go draft a quarterback that he wants. And again, there was no combine. When you talk to teams, they're on Zoom calls with prospects all day long. So they're trying to figure out and get to know these prospects. And before you move on from Russell Wilson, and before you make a commitment to somebody else, you have to know as much about them as you can. You don't just trade a future Hall of Fame quarterback and be uncertain about who you're filling that position with. And again, these GMs, these front offices, they don't know as much about these quarterback prospects as they want to, and they don't know as much about them today as they will 6 weeks from today when you host the NFL Draft, Greeny. They need more time to learn more. And until that happens, I think this trade talk sits out there. I think if and when the Seahawks get comfortable with another quarterback, when they know they're in position that they can get another quarterback, then they potentially consider dealing Russell Wilson. The Bears had the 20th overall pick. They're not getting a top-rated prospect with that pick. They don't have another quarterback on their roster that they could acquire. So even though the Bears pursued Russell Wilson aggressively, there was nothing that they could really offer to the Seahawks that would change their stance at this point in time. 6 weeks from now, we might have a different story.
Well, so that's what intrigues me about what you're saying, is that the teams that are remaining on the list that the agent gave to you are the Bears, the Raiders, and the Saints. None of them are in a position to be drafting all the way up at the top, which is where these high-level quarterbacks are going to go. So I feel like you're suggesting to me that perhaps, well, I don't want to put words in your mouth, could this expand to other teams? Because if you're talking about the top quarterbacks in this draft, New Orleans, the Raiders, the Bears, none of them are going to be in a position to draft those guys.
Well, all those teams that are on Russell Wilson's wish list have all made a quarterback move this season, with the exception of the Raiders, who seem committed to Derek Carr. So the Saints committed money to Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill. The Cowboys committed to Dak Prescott. The Bears committed to Andy Dalton. The Raiders are the only one that didn't commit additional quarterback money. So what this may mean is, this may mean that Russell Wilson, if he wants out of Seattle, may have to expand his wish list of teams or accept the fact that he's going to go back to Seattle. Now, Seattle made a couple of moves yesterday that had to get Russell Wilson's attention, right? They're trading for Gabe Jackson, the former Raiders guard, a fifth-round draft pick, and they also signed the former Rams tight end, Gerald Everett. So they're making some moves, obviously, to strengthen their roster, and I think there's a little message in there for Russell Wilson. Hey, we're going to keep getting better on offense. We're going to keep surrounding you with talent. And maybe this helps calm him down, appease him, and make him more open to the idea of staying in Seattle. But let's be very clear. This has been going on for a little while between the Seahawks and Russell Wilson. It just hasn't been very public. There's been this little dance behind the scenes that's happened and unfolded. And this is the offseason where a little bit of that came public, and the public got a little taste that there are some issues in that relationship, as there are in many long-term relationships. They're not alone. They're not the exception here. We could look at so many great quarterbacks over time with their franchises that at certain points, the relationship gets a little sideways. And that's what's happened here. And so now we see what the effects are and what the results are and how it plays out. But no, I don't think the Seahawks have closed the door on trading Russell Wilson. And I don't think that that's the case until they publicly come out and say, we are not trading Russell Wilson. Tell me when you've heard them say that this offseason, Greeny.
Well, they certainly haven't. And he hasn't really made it clear that he wants to be there either. Shefty, outstanding as always. Let me bring the crew in this morning and see what everybody is thinking as we say good morning to D. Wood, Mike Tannenbaum, and again, Chris Canty is here with me. And D. Wood, I'll start with you. As you pay attention, well, there's a lot of smoke out there. What do you make about all the situation with Russell Wilson?
Well, Greeny, you already hit on it. There's smoke where there's smoke, there's fire. Obviously, there's been things going on behind the scene, as Adam Schefter alluded to. But here's the thing, as it relates to the Chicago Bears and some of these other teams, they don't have the assets. You're talking about giving up a superstar quarterback, one of the top five quarterbacks in the National Football League. And if you're going to give a guy like that up, which would be crazy for any franchise, what are you going to get back in return? Chicago's Bears picked 20th. They don't have a quarterback nowhere near where Russell Wilson is. So the whole notion of, you know, a lot of Chicago Bears fans thinking, oh, we might get Russell Wilson. What in the hell did the Chicago Bears have to give to the Seattle Seahawks to even get Russell Wilson? That just blew my mind.
What do you think of all this, Chris Canty?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, the fact that the conversation got far enough along between the two teams where basic parameters of a deal were discussed, that lets me know that Pete Carroll and John Schneider have entertained the idea of life after Russell Wilson. But I think you got two major impediments there. First of all, you got the $39 million cap hit, and it's just hard to do business in the NFL when you have a player taking up that much on your salary cap that's not actually producing for you. And secondly, what's your alternative at the quarterback spot? Like, the fact that you don't have a team that's in play that has a young quarterback or a draft pick in order to get a young quarterback to offer, I think it makes it a little tougher to stomach the idea of actually pulling the trigger on a deal right now for the Seahawks. So, again, I think the qualifier in this is right now the Seahawks don't want to trade him, but I think that we could eventually get to a point where Pete Carroll and John Schneider decide to make that move.
Well, and Russell Wilson could put them in a position where they have no choice. He hasn't gone in that direction yet. It's been, to use the words that some have used here, a little passive-aggressive the way he's gone about it. But Mike Tannenbaum, if you're in that seat, if you're where John Schneider is, the general manager of Seattle is right now, and you've made up your mind, I'm willing to consider trading Russell Wilson, what do you need to get back?
Yeah, you need a starting quarterback that you can win with. And I think this is going to be a two-year process, Greeny. I think I have to look at it through the lens of, by September of 2022, I need a high-end starter because, as both D. Wood and Chris allude to, a $39 million cap charge is really hard to stomach. So I think, ultimately, he has to be on their team this year. But I do think it's interesting that when you compare this situation to Green Bay, and Aaron Rodgers is talking about it's a beautiful mystery, the next day, Mark Murphy, the president of the Packers, says, we're not idiots. Aaron Rodgers is a Packer. We have not heard that. And to me, communication isn't what's said. It's what's heard. And they are open for business. But they have to find a quarterback. You know, Greeny, we talked about this yesterday on your radio show. Could Sam Darnold maybe be traded to Seattle? Maybe there's a three-way trade. But until they have a quarterback, if I'm John Schneider, I can't sign off on a trade.
Yeah, there's something else I want to get to real quickly. And D. Wood, let's say he does have to come back this year. Russell Wilson's been pretty outspoken about some of the things he's unhappy about, including the fact that he thinks he gets hit too much. You're an offensive lineman on that team. How's that first conversation going to go?
Oh, you know, Greeny, I'm sitting sideways. Like, you know, we're already the position that nobody cares about, don't give a damn about anyway. And then our quarterback is kind of throwing us under the bus by saying you get hit a lot. I'm like, okay, we might need to have a little talk in the building because we need to keep all this stuff in-house. We can't have you going out there as good as you are, voicing and throwing us under the bus when we're, you know, busting out behind to try to protect you to make sure you get all the shine. So I think there's going to have to be some tough love conversations behind the scenes in Seattle.
Yeah, this is a situation, as I open the show by saying, that Bears watching, and we will keep an eye on it for you. Meanwhile, Adam Schefter, back to you, and let's run the hurry up through some other free agent situations, beginning with Kyle Long.
Kyle Long gets a deal done with the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Kansas City Chiefs had some interest in signing Trent Williams. It didn't get done. I think they would have been interested in Rodney Hudson had the Raiders released him. That didn't happen. They wound up trading Rodney Hudson to the Cardinals. And so the Chiefs go out and sign the son of the former Raiders legend and Kyle Long, gets to go to Kansas City, which is an interesting matchup. Certainly, he'll be a Chief. Then we have A.J. Green landing in the desert with J.J. Watt, with DeAndre Hopkins. A.J. Green lines up and gives the Cardinals another weapon. Kyler Murray, another weapon. And remember, he came out in the same draft class as Julio Jones. People still think he's got juice left. A.J. Green's a quality player, quality person, the kind of talent you want on your roster. The Cardinals get a one-year deal done with A.J. Green to bring him to the desert. And we should mention that Larry Fitzgerald, still a free agent, still undecided on his future. And Curtis Samuel gets on a big deal with the Washington football team, a three-year, $34.5 million contract, and he now is reunited with Ron Rivera, who he worked with in Carolina. He's reunited with Terry McLaurin, his former Ohio State teammate. He's familiar, comfortable in Washington, gets the big deal. There is the tweet from Terry McLaurin welcoming his former teammate to Washington. It's going to be lit there, Terry. Those are some good playmaking wide receivers in Washington with a very good defense there as well, Greeny. Washington looks like it's fielding a competitive team with the Fitzmagic man at quarterback.
That's absolutely right. We're going to get to that later in this hour, but if you watch this show, you know how I feel. I think that is definitively the team to beat, and that was a huge acquisition. When I say the team to beat, I mean in the division. The team to beat in the entire National Football League, of course, remains the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who won the Super Bowl, and a month later are already thinking about repeating. They just keep bringing the entire band back together, including linebacker Lavonte David, who was re-signed. And then listen to what he said on the I Am Athlete podcast. We saw it yesterday. Listen to this.
If we get everybody back, I guarantee we're going again.
Run it back. Will the Tampa Bay Buccaneers be back-to-back Super Bowl champions, and the plane is landed once you answer it?
It's a yes or no question.
Run it back.
Will you run it Let's back, get it. Coach? I'm confident enough we'll be back.
How about our Ryan Clark demanding a direct answer from Lavonte David right there? So look, they won the Super Bowl. They bring everybody back. I think we all anticipated that they would be better in year two with Brady than they are in year one. So they feel as though they're something of a prohibitive favorite, let's say within the confines of the NFC. So I asked each of you guys to tell me right now, who do you consider to be the biggest threat to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the NFC? And Chris Canty, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I'm going with the Rams, Greeny. I think the Matt Stafford trade changes everything in terms of the ceiling for LA. And if you look at this team, their offense was challenged last year because of their quarterback play. They had the worst quarterback play of any team with a winning record in the National Football League. Jared Goff had a QBR of 59, so Stafford instantly gives you an upgrade on that. And beyond that, I think he gives Sean McVay the ability to unlock the entire playbook. Stafford is going to challenge every level of the defense. Last year, he was top five in air yards per attempt, where Jared Goff was bottom five. So just when you look at the numbers and you actually look at the two quarterbacks, clearly Stafford gives Sean McVay and this Rams team a higher upside. And let's also keep in mind this. These two teams matched up in week 11 last year, and the Rams bested them in prime time. So stylistically, I think the Rams are just a bad matchup for the Bucs.
Yeah, and look, the Rams, I'd like to see them play that game against Green Bay in the playoffs last year again with a healthy Aaron Donald. Remember how banged up he was, and he remains the best player on that team. So we got one vote for the Rams. Mike Tannenbaum, who's the biggest threat to Tampa in the NFC?
The Green Bay Packers. Let's go back to the championship game. That game was nip and tuck all the way through. Handful of plays, and we could be talking about the Green Bay Packers as world champions. They re-signed Aaron Jones. That's critical. He's dynamic out of the backfield. 47 catches. A.J. Dillon, last year's second-round pick, between the tackle runner. Great complement to one another. We got to give them credit, Green. They kept David Bakhtiari, Aaron Jones. They extended Davante Adams. They lost Corey Linsley, but Elgton Jenkins is going to be a competent center. They could go draft a corner, which is what they desperately need. But you want to talk about the band being back together? That offense has a chance to be better. I like the Packers.
Okay, so we got one vote for the Rams. We got one vote for the Packers. Damian Woody, who's got your vote?
Oh, I'm going with Chris Canty. I'm going with the Rams. And I think Matthew Stafford, you know, for all the points that Chris Canty said, this dude is just different. He's more dynamic at the quarterback position. Him with Sean McVay will unlock this offense, particularly in the passing game, that Jerry Goff just could never get them to do. They have Cam Akers, one of the up-and-coming young running backs in the National Football League. And then defensively, they got a new defensive coordinator in Raheem Morris. It doesn't really matter because guess what? You got the baddest man in football and Aaron Donald sitting in the middle of that defense along with Jalen Ramsey. That unit's going to be good. I like them to challenge the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Fair enough. And so having said all of that, let me finish the conversation with this. Lavonte David just said, we bring the whole game back together and we're going to win. Are you comfortable attaching the word prohibitive to the word favorite, Chris Canty, for the Buccaneers right now in the NFC?
I absolutely am comfortable with saying that just because they have Tom Brady. I mean, the guy went in free agency to Tampa Bay and they won the Super Bowl in year one. So, yeah, I'm comfortable saying that. It's only going to continue to improve in year two, establishing that rapport, continuing with the chemistry that they built in year one. So, yeah, I feel comfortable saying that the Bucs are the favorite in the NFC.
Yeah, Brady restructuring his contract so they can continue to keep all their good players together again. Anyone who has followed his career for 20 years in the AFC East knows how that formula works. It usually winds up back in the Super Bowl. We are just getting rolling on a very busy day. Coming up today, can we stop calling it the NFC least after big moves in Dallas and D.C.? Who is the team to beat in the suddenly surging NFC East? Plus, the Eagles have their quarterback, or do they? Why, something their general manager said could change the entire plan in Philly and turn the draft upside down. That's on the way. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. I'm so happy. Why
so shaky? Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Get Up is brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need. All right, from the NBA last night, Chris Canty, you tell me, is this an offensive foul or is this a blatant flop? This is going to be Ben Simmons in transition. They're going to call him for an offensive foul. Give me the replay here, Canty. Take a look. You tell me what you think.
No, this is absolutely ridiculous, Greeny. We need to add Drew Holiday to the list of Oscar nominees for best supporting role in a flop in an NBA game. That's absolutely ridiculous. Ref, swallow your whistle. Let the guys play, man. Nobody want to see defense. We want to see dunks in transition.
One more look at it there. I agree with you. That's a flop, not a foul. As we continue, can we stop calling it the NFC least? Big moves in Dallas and D.C. Who is now the team to beat? Plus, it's our favorite game, Sneaky Hembo with Graziano. And here's today's question. What is the most common matchup between coaches in NFC East history? Well, it's a good one. And the answer is next. Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon, presented by Reese's.
Yes, you are. And speaking of challenges, this is a good one. Trying to read the face of Graziano. This is a great question from Hembo. What's the most common matchup, Dan, between coaches in NFC East history?
I mean, I have no idea. I mean, the Cardinals used to be in the NFC East. Like, I have no idea. Jimmy Johnson and Buddy Ryan. I don't know.
Oh, Jimmy Johnson only coached there for a short time. What? It's Bill Parcells and Joe Gibbs.
Great.
Bill Parcells. Look at Graziano. He looks frustrated.
Back that far.
He looks put off by the question. I think it's a fair question.
It's a fair question.
Parcells and Gibbs.
Weird
22 meetings.
Parcells and Gibbs. Great.
There's the matchup between Graziano and Hembo now. It stands at 15-12, still in favor of Dan on the season. And here's the reason we asked the question, because we're talking about the NFC East, because it's been a busy offseason for that division. It starts, of course, in Philly. After leading the NFL in interceptions last year, the Eagles sent Carson Wentz to Indianapolis, where he'll play for his former coordinator and Frank Reich. Then Dak and Dallas inking a four-year, $160 million contract. You may have heard he's staying put with his new deal. And then Washington turning to Ryan Fitzpatrick. This will be the 19th he has started for. They also signed Curtis Samuel in a sneaky, excellent move yesterday. He was a very productive player out of Ohio State, coming from Carolina, reuniting with his former coach, Ron Rivera. So let's take a look at this division, which we called the NFC least last year, but maybe that doesn't seem appropriate. Chris Canty, I'll start with you.
I like the Dallas Cowboys. I think they're the favorite in this division, and it has to do with Dak Prescott. They finally put the drama of the contract to bed. They clearly have the best quarterback in the division. The floor for this team when he plays all 16 games is 8-8, so that's a good place to be in the NFC East. And I got to think that there's going to be a positive ripple effect from Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones getting that deal done, because guess what? They've empowered the leader of their football team in Dak Prescott, and a part of empowering him is the paycheck. And that's important to acknowledge. An organization has to do that. It's similar to why teams don't let coaches go into a season as a lame duck. Most teams don't let their franchise quarterback play on an expiring contract. They put that to bed. Now they can focus on the task at hand, which is winning football games.
Yes, and how's Dak Prescott at covering opposing teams' wide receivers? Because that was really the problem they had last year. I'm glad they'll all be feeling so good about themselves, but that defense was as bad as any in the sport last year, Canty.
Well, listen, they signed Dan Quinn as their defensive coordinator, so hopefully he can get things turned around. Mike Nolan was terrible at the job, so you got to think that that's going to be a bit of an improvement. But getting rid of the drama, getting rid of the noise during the offseason is a huge part of this, man. Football teams don't benefit from having distractions, and they're not going to have any distractions down there in Dallas for the majority of the offseason. That gives Mike McCarthy an opportunity to focus on football.
Let's see how good Dan Quinn is at stopping the run, because they didn't have anyone who could do that last year either. All right, Dean Wood, I can't get any sense whatsoever out of Canty over here. Let me turn to you. Which team do you have winning the NFC East?
Greeny, Washington is making me sweat my pick right now. Samuel signing, woo, that's a monster. I'm going to Cowboys. I'm going with the Cowboys. They got the best quarterback.
There you go.
And yeah, I'm going with the Cowboys. They got the best quarterback in the division in Dak Prescott, who got paid this offseason. So the unquestioned leader of the Dallas Cowboys is back. They're going to get back Tyron Smith at tackle, Leo Collins at tackle, so their offensive line should be intact. And defensively, yes, they were a hot mess last year. No question about it. But I think that new defensive coordinator Dan Quinn is going to simplify the scheme and have these boys humming. They don't have to be world beaters. They just got to be average. If they can be average, they'll win this division.
Dan Graziano, I turn to you to try and make some sense of the proceedings here. Who is going to win the NFC East?
There's no way to make sense of this. Greeny, I started covering the NFC East 10 years ago, and what I've learned in that time is – you have no idea what's going to happen. The Cowboys only win when you don't expect them to. And no one can win the division 2 years in a row, right? Yeah, I know you like Washington, but the only thing I know for sure is that Washington won't win it. It's been 17 years since this division had a back-to-back champion, and it's no coincidence. There are evil forces at work that went to work this year to dismantle the entire Philadelphia Eagles franchise just to prevent them from winning the easiest division ever. That happened. So Washington won't win it. I don't know who's going to win. I'm going to say the Giants, just because I expect something weird to happen, and that would be really weird.
It would be weird. And again, everyone but me continues to leave out, and that's why I'm wearing the burgundy today. Everyone continues to leave out the obvious choice. I know that it's been a long time since a team went back-to-back. You know when it happened the last time teams won that division back-to-back? It was 2003 and 2004. That was the last time we had back-to-back Super Bowl champions as well. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to do that.
That won't happen either.
The Washington football team is going to do this. They are definitively the team to beat in that division, particularly with the acquisitions they have made. We'll continue to talk about that as we go, and much more football coming your way on Get Up. But Say it with me, ladies and gentlemen. The NCAA tournament begins tonight with the first four. The round includes a pair of matchups between 16 seeds and then two more between 11 seeds. And since the tournament field first started with this first four in 2011, a lot of teams that played in the equivalent of tonight's games have made reasonably deep runs, the most memorable being VCU, which made it all the way from the first four to the final four once upon a time. And so you see, these are some teams that have done well with that over the course of time. So that is where we begin the conversation with my uncle Seth. Seth Greenberg, no relation. Seth, of the teams that are playing tonight, which one do you give the best chance to be making a deep run into this month?
Michigan State. When they're at their very best, Michigan State is different than these other teams. Think about this. Michigan State over the last 2 weeks, they have a win against Michigan, Ohio State, and a superhero in Illinois, in Iyo Desumu. When Michigan State is at their very best, what are they doing? They're knocking down jumpers. They're getting in the lane. Rocket Watts is defending, facilitating, being a ball guard, which is a shot maker and a shot creator. Aaron Henry has the ball at the end of the games, getting in the lane, drawing fouls, rebounding the ball on the offensive end. When Michigan State is at its very best, they're better than these other teams, and they have a chance to win multiple games.
And as tested as you can possibly be, to your point, having beaten and played all season long against by far the best competition, as the Big Ten was that kind of good this year. All right, next issue here with you, Seth. Everyone loves Gonzaga. So let's put them aside, and let's talk about your level of concern for the three other number one seeds and their roads to the Final Four. So let's start with Baylor. What is your level of concern?
I'm not concerned. Everyone says, oh, Baylor not playing as well. Yeah, they came off the pause and they struggled a little bit, but they still have the best backcourt in college basketball. You're talking about Jared Butler and Davion Mitchell. They are absolutely explosive off the bounce, and they can really guard the ball. Oh, Macy Oteague, he's got 10 threes in a game against Texas Tech. And then they bring off the bench Matt Meyer. The dude wears a mullet and knocks down jumpers. How can you not like Matt Meyer? So I look at this Baylor team. I think, you know what? They defend. They're physical. They got guard play and shot makers. Illinois, they're led by a superhero. The best mask in the history of college basketball, there's no doubt about it. The dude should have a cape, but it's not just him. You're talking about Kofi Coburn, all right? He's a double-double machine. You're talking about Trent Frazier, experience, big shot-making, and Andre Curbelo, his development, his ability to get in the lane and take some pressure off of the superhero with the cape, that is absolutely huge. I absolutely love this Illinois team. Now, I do have a little bit of concern for Michigan. Why do I have a concern for Michigan? You lose Isaiah Livers. You lose his leadership. You lose his shot-making. You lose his basketball IQ. And more importantly, yes, Shaundae Brown is a very good player. But if he takes up for Livers, who takes up for Shaundae Brown? It's all about understanding your rotations. Michigan, do they have a shot-making? Can they space the floor? Will there be more pressure on Hunter Dickinson? That is going to be the question. I think Michigan, if you talk about level of concern, I have a concern for Michigan.
Yes, because I have your Final Four in front of me, and you don't have them in it. Seth's Final Four, Gonzaga, Texas, Illinois, and Baylor. And who cuts down the nets in the end, Seth Greenberg?
I can't go against the superhero. That mask, the cape, the way he runs the floor, they score 17 points a game in transition. He scores seven of them. I mean, you're talking about Kofi Coburn. He's a mountain masquerading as a man. He's baby Shaq. So you've got a point guard. You've got a front court player. You've got shot makers around him. They defend. They're as tough a team as I've seen in a long time. I think with their toughness, with their superhero, with Kofi Coburn, Illinois cuts down the nets.
Looking forward to it. It all begins tonight. We didn't get this event last year. We finally get to celebrate the madness of March beginning this evening. Seth, thank you. We look forward to
Thanks,
your coverage
Greeny.
As we roll through this thing. And a reminder, you should be filling out your bracket right now. Play ESPN Tournament Challenge and Women's Tournament Challenge at ESPN.com. You can fill out the men's bracket for a chance to win a $10,000 Amazon gift card and a trip for two to this year's Maui Invitational in Hawaii. Fill out the women's bracket for a chance to win $10,000 in Amazon gift cards. Go to ESPN.com/bracket for the men, and for the women, ESPN.com/TCWomen. Coming up, the Eagles have their quarterback, or do they? Why, something their general manager said could change the entire plan and the entire draft.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon, presented by Reese's. Don't forget to fill out your brackets. Visit ESPN.com/bracket or download the Tournament Challenge app now.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more.
March is Women's History Month, and we are so excited to be broadcasting the Women's Frozen Four for the first time ever. You will see Minnesota, Duluth, and Northeastern today, 2 Eastern on ESPN3. Then a Big Ten matchup, Ohio State and Wisconsin in the second semi is tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPNU. Both games available on the ESPN app. And the championship game is Saturday night, 7:30 Eastern on ESPNU and on the ESPN app. But back to the NFL, and with the start of the NFL's new league year, the Colts trade for Carson Wentz is now official. Wentz will wear number 2 in Indianapolis. But that leaves the Eagles with only Jalen Hurts currently on their roster. And the big question, will they draft a quarterback, number 6 overall, next month? This was their general manager, Howie Roseman, said this yesterday. We're not going to put a cap on what we're going to do with that position. We're going to look at every option to improve our football team. We owe it to the organization to do our due diligence on anyone that could be available at that pick that we feel has a chance to be a great player. And so let me go to my insider here, Dan Graziano. You know, there was the reporting from Chris Mortensen that the owner wants them to stay with Jalen Hurts. What is your sense of what they may be considering there at number 6?
Greeny, the Eagles are never going to rule out a quarterback option. Their entire history backs this up. Going way back, and go back to the Andy Reid days when they had, you know, Donovan McNabb and Kevin Cobb, and they draft Nick Foles. They got Michael Vick. They always have more quarterback than they need. You mentioned Hurts is the only one on the roster. They will add to that, whether it's in the draft or in free agency or both. And I think if the Eagles, if we know anything about the Eagles, who drafted Jalen Hurts with a high pick last year when they thought they were locked in on Carson Wentz forever. If there's a quarterback there at number 6 that they think is the long-term answer, potentially, I would not be surprised to see them take him. I think everything's on the table, and you can take Howie Roseman at his word given the Eagles' history.
Okay, so then let's get deeply into this here. We know this is a team where they are with a great number of holes. So, Mike Tannenbaum, if you're evaluating this situation, the 2 top quarterbacks in this draft clearly figure to be off the board by the time we get to 6, and that is Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. But let's say Justin Fields is on the board and you're the Eagles and you're at number 6. How are you handling it?
I'm drafting a quarterback, and I see a little bit different than Dan. They didn't take more quarterbacks than they needed. Their quarterback depth earned them a Super Bowl title. To their credit, Nick Foles was able to replace Carson Wentz, and it's a core belief of that organization. So if it's going to be Trey Lance or Justin Fields, I would not be surprised at all, Greeny, if they took a quarterback. Even though they do believe in Jalen Hurts, their philosophy won them a title. So I don't think they're going to deviate from their philosophy. And I think they believe that's going to be opportunistic of them if there's a great quarterback sitting there at 6.
How about you, Canty? If there's a quarterback sitting there they like, do they take him at 6? If it's your decision.
Yeah, I take a quarterback at 6, and I see it the same way that Mike T does. I think they have to improve the talent level in that quarterback room. Jalen Hurts hadn't done enough in the 4 games for me to anoint him as my future franchise quarterback. And if you look ahead to the 2022 quarterback class, This might represent the last best chance that Howie Roseman has to significantly upgrade the talent level in that room for the next couple of years. So I don't think they can pass on the opportunity. If Justin Fields is there or Trey Lance is there, they should absolutely take one of those guys and let them compete with Jalen Hurts for the job.
Mike T, let me throw a different idea at you, which is that pick, if it could turn into, on draft night, if that pick could turn into Justin Fields or Trey Lance or Mac Jones, any of the highly touted quarterbacks here, it also will be highly desired by a lot of other teams. If you're a team with a lot of holes, you could trade back a little bit and probably try to fill a few more of those. Would you expect them to be fielding calls for that pick?
Absolutely. And Green, that's what's so much fun. From 2 to 11 is where the draft really, that's where all the action is going to happen. The Jets at 2, San Francisco is at 11. You have Denver, Carolina, Atlanta. All these teams are going to need quarterbacks. So if I'm Philly, I could maybe go back to 8 and get a quarterback. But as Chris just said, if they're convicted to go get a quarterback, if you go back too far, I think San Francisco could come up, Carolina could, and now you're going to be stuck without a quarterback. So there's going to be so much action between 2 and 11. It's going to be a ton of fun, and these quarterbacks are going to go fast.
Philadelphia feels like the spot, that 6th spot, feels like one of the spots to watch to see if someone wants to trade up and get one of the quarterbacks. We will see what they wind up deciding to do. Meanwhile, it is time now for this week's wood-based pun. D. Wood, every single week we seem to change the name of your segment.
This is Knock on Wood, damn it.
Taking him to the woodshed.
Greedy, how is that possible?
Firewood.
Your soul is mine.
This week it is the wood pile, chopped wood.
Excuse me?
Sour wood. The lights shine brightest, of course, in Hollywood. Is wood fire turkey. Damian Woody is going to call someone turkey.
Perfect distillation of how stupid TV is, and I love it.
But I will make sure everyone is aware of this. This big fella is not just a man of many segments. He is a man of many talents. Did you all see where he was yesterday? He wasn't on any of the ESPN television shows talking about football. No, no, no. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, which is brought to you by Whole Foods, Damian Woody was exercising his other expertise yesterday. Watch this.
No, I'm all over the place. I don't like to, you know, throw all my eggs in one basket. You know, I'm into oil. You know, I think, you know, as much as we talk about green energy, oil isn't going anywhere. So, you know, the Chevron, the Exxon, PayPal, Square, you know, I'm all up travel. Now that they seems like we're coming on the other side of the pandemic, I'm in a little bit of everything. So that's how I'm rolling.
That was Damian Woody yesterday on CNBC. And so for today, we are doing wood stocks, which is to say we will look at some of the teams around the NFL and see if you have their stock up or stock down based upon what they've done thus far in free agency. D. Wood, let's start with the Green Bay Packers. Stock up or stock down?
Do they have Aaron Rodgers? Absolutely. So the stock is up. I know we talk about, you know, them, you know, Ryan Lindsay moving on to the Los Angeles Chargers, but as long as you have Aaron Rodgers, you're going to be in this thing all the way to the end. They re-signed Aaron Jones, their star running back. They're going to add more to the mix as far as the draft and the rest of free agency is concerned. The Green Bay Packers are going to be right in this thing at the end of the season, this upcoming season.
Now, let me move to a different sector. This would be the NFC South here. And the New Orleans Saints, stock up or stock down? D. Wood.
I'm going to go stock down, Greeny. Listen, and it all relates to the quarterback position. Drew Brees retiring. We know he's one of the most efficient quarterbacks that we've ever seen in the National Football League. And we don't know what the quarterback situation is going to be. Obviously, Jameis Winston re-signed. He's a very talented guy. But the last time we saw Jameis Winston as a starter, this is a guy that threw 30 interceptions. Now, he threw for over 5,000 yards, but he's going to have to cut back on those interceptions to be a viable starting quarterback in the National Football League.
Boy, is he Damian Woody or is he Ron Insana? One more. The New England Patriots, D. Wood, stock up or stock down?
Oh, man, they have nowhere to go but up. So the stock is up. I mean, one thing we've seen, this has been out of character for Bill Belichick to be able to spend all this type of money in free agency. But the one tell about all of this is that the roster was depleted. So they went out there and they signed a bunch of guys, you know, Jonnu Smith, you know, Hunter Henry, a bunch of guys on both sides of the football to help this depleted roster. If Cam Newton could get this thing cranked up with some of the weapons that they added, New England's going to be right back in the playoff mix again.
And so, D. Wood, our stock picker, is bullish on the Patriots. Let's bring in the crew. My first and most important question for you, Chris Canty, is would you take stock advice from Damian Woody?
Oh, absolutely. He's sitting there talking about diversification, so no doubt. I'm a big believer in that big fella. But back to your take about the
Patriots.
The Patriots.
Bullish or bearish?
I'm bullish on the Patriots, and it's for a lot of the reasons that D. Wood outlined, but particularly what they did in the first couple of days of free agency with adding the two tight ends, Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith, paying them top of the market money. Last year, the Patriots had the fewest two tight end sets of any team in the National Football League. Now Bill Belichick has these two guys as weapons. They can be Swiss Army knives for them. The versatility that that offense will have, I think it's going to be able to form them an identity that's complementary of what they have on the defensive side of the ball.
Graziano.
Yeah, I think there's no reason for me to argue with Damian Woody on stocks based on anything I've heard in this segment. I'm all in. I'm going to go back and watch that segment from yesterday and get some advice.
Okay, fair enough. And D. Wood, I just have four words for you, and you'll know what they mean. Frozen concentrated orange juice. As we continue in just a moment here, when you think you're out, he pulls you back in. Find out why Russell Wilson's future is still very much in doubt in Seattle. Shefty will join this stock-picking party next. It's Get Up on ESPN.